Order of service is on page 224. Please stand. O Lord, open my lips,
and my mouth will declare your praise.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me, O Lord.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son,
and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Praise to you, O Christ. Alleluia.
You may be seated. The reading is from the 7th chapter of Matthew, beginning at the 15th verse. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth.
The word is a lamp to my feet, and a light to my path.
Unite my heart to fear your name, that I may walk in your truth.
Your word is a lamp to my feet, and a light to my path.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
Your word is a lamp to my feet, and a light to my path.
The office hymn is in your bulletin insert. Thank you. Please rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Our sermon text is Matthew chapter 7, especially verse 15 and 21. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. And not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Let us pray. Almighty and gracious God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has commanded us to pray that thou wouldst send forth laborers into thy harvest, of thine infinite mercy give us true teachers and ministers of thy word, and put thy saving gospel in their hearts and on their lips, that they may truly fulfill thy command, and preach nothing contrary to thy holy word, that we, being warned, instructed, nurtured, comforted, and strengthened by thy heavenly word, may do those things which are well-pleasing to thee and profitable to us. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you be from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, you have been baptized into the name of Jesus. You have had all of your sins washed away in holy baptism. You have been justified by faith in Jesus Christ. Many of you have been in this blessed state for your entire lives. You've been raised in the faith. You've been taught the catechism. You've been consistently fed with the pure milk of the Word by your faithful pastor. At this point, it would be tempting to put your guard down. It seems like you are completely safe. We're right in the middle of a very long Trinity season. Nothing exciting has happened since Pentecost and Trinity Sunday. And nothing exciting will happen again until Advent. It sure seems like the perfect time to kick back and relax and enjoy the Christian life. But Christ warns us in the reading tonight against two dangers that threaten our blessedness. Even when all seems safe and peaceful, these two dangers are always there, seeking to spoil our salvation. These dangers are false teaching and sin. Christ first warns us, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves." Now, this picture has always been a little bit amusing to me. You imagine a wolf trying to drape himself in sheep's clothing. He's trying hard, but you can see his tail sticking out and his slobbery teeth. Who would be fooled by this kind of clumsy disguise? But this picture is not right at all. Christ doesn't warn us against a danger that we can easily see for ourselves. When it comes to false teachers, they are extremely clever, and they're experts in disguising themselves. It's not easy for us at all to tell the difference between a false teacher and a true teacher. The wolves have so carefully wrapped themselves in sheep's clothing, they have pulled the wool right over our eyes. False teachers are exactly like their father, the devil. St. Paul says about the devil, Satan transforms himself into an angel of light. Now, if Satan can appear to be an angel, then a false teacher can certainly appear to be a good Christian sheep. A false teacher often looks like any other pastor. He may even be an especially nice person. He might be funny. He might be confident. He might be encouraging. His charismatic personality may attract many people to his church. He may be active in all sorts of good works, such as charitable giving. All of these things are good things, and we certainly want our pastors to be good men. But any pastor who teaches against Scripture and against the catechism is a wolf, no matter how much he may appear to be a sheep. We need to be very concerned about the danger of false teaching. This is not a minor threat that we can casually dismiss. Wolves kill sheep. False teachers kill souls. The devil and his false teachers are actively seeking to undermine your salvation. Jesus calls them ravenous. St. Peter says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." These false teachers, they're not misguided. They are not well-intentioned. If given the chance, they will destroy your faith and lead you to eternal death. But we must not fall off the other side of the horse. We should be aware of the danger that threatens us, but we should not live our lives in despair or fear. If we were left to ourselves, we would be unable to tell the difference between a false teacher and a true teacher. But we put our faith in Christ, who has promised to protect us against all harm and danger. He is the good shepherd who drives away the wolves. He is the true teacher who instructs us in the paths of righteousness. So that we might be protected against the dangers of false teaching, Christ has given us both his word and his spirit. We have his word recorded for us in Scripture, which we use to tell the difference between a true and a false pastor. Jesus says, "You'll know them by their fruits." The fruits of a pastor are his teachings. If his teachings agree with Scripture, he is a true pastor. If his teachings contradict Scripture, then he is a wolf. This is why the prophet Isaiah says, "To the law and to the testimony, if they do not speak according to this word, it is because there is no light in them." But maybe you are worried about judging the teaching of a pastor by Scripture. The Bible is a very big book, after all. Pastors study it for many years before they are ordained. How can a regular Christian know the Scriptures well enough to judge between truth and falsehood? Do not despair. Remember that God has blessed you with a short, faithful summary of his word, the small catechism. You have been well trained in that catechism. Study it every day. Read it every day. With only the small catechism, any false teaching can be easily exposed. Remember also that you have been given the Holy Spirit in your baptism. By ourselves, we are too foolish to tell the difference between truth and falsehood. But the Holy Spirit enlightens our minds so that we recognize the truth and we believe it. When we hear the preaching of the Word, when we hear the preaching of our pastor, when we read our Bibles, there is the Holy Spirit testifying to the truth. God has also given you your own pastor, who is your guide and is responsible for protecting you against wolves. He has the solemn duty not only to teach you the truth, but also to sound the alarm whenever false teaching threatens. The word pastor means shepherd. Your pastor will protect you against the wolves who want to devour you. Listen to his voice, because it is not his voice, really, but it is the voice of Christ, the only good shepherd. So the particular man does not matter, whether it is an unworthy servant or the son of an unworthy servant. It is really Christ who is shepherding you through your pastor. Now, there is another danger that can be just as threatening as false doctrine. Christ says also in today's reading, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." And St. Paul says the same thing in the epistle for this coming Sunday. He says, "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live." Because our sinful nature remains after baptism, we are constantly in danger of falling into sin. And if such sin continues without repentance, St. Paul warns that death will follow. Just like false teaching, sin can present itself as very attractive. Sin is very good at temporarily giving us pleasure. Our sinful nature enjoys sinning, and it tries to fool us into thinking that sin is good. It says to us, "Surely you deserve just a little bit of pleasure, don't you?" When sinful nature and its desires arise within us, they often seem harmless. It's just a little sin, we think. It won't hurt me that much. And the world, on its part, tries to convince us that sin is good and something to be proud of. Our entire culture worships pleasure, and it celebrates those who pursue it into depravity. It is very easy to fall into sin. Think of Eve in the Garden of Eden. Just like her, we are fooled into thinking that our sin is good and pleasant to the eyes and desirable to make us wise. And just as Satan deceived Eve, he deceives us into minimizing his commandments. "You will not surely die," the serpent told Eve. "It was just a little bit of fruit after all." But God had said, "In the day that you eat of it, you will surely die." And sure enough, on that very day, Adam and Eve died a spiritual death. So we should not be fooled for a moment into thinking that our sin is no big deal. Like false doctrine, our sin will kill us. Even what seems to us to be only a little sin, without repentance, makes us worthy of eternal death. Christ states that those who do not do the will of God the Father will not enter the kingdom of heaven. And he will say to them on the last day, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." Notice also that Christ is speaking of the very same people who outwardly have made a good confession. They said, "Lord, Lord," and all sorts of other good Christian things. But an outward confession, as good as it is worthless without faith and good works. So in our context, confirmation, saying the creed, are very good things. We should certainly do these things. But unless we also confess our sins and believe in Jesus, they do us no good. Now, once again, we must be aware of the danger, but we must not despair. Sin can kill us, but it will not kill us who are baptized into Christ Jesus. In that baptism, your sins were washed away. And as often as we fall into sin, which will happen, we return to that same baptism, repenting of our sins and receiving the forgiveness that is promised to us by our loving Heavenly Father. Apart from Christ, we were bad trees, bearing bad fruit, only fit to be cut down and thrown into the fire. But by grace, God has grafted us onto Christ, the tree of life. And just as branches receive life from the vine, we receive forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation through Christ. So sin cannot kill us as long as we remain connected to our Lord and Savior. And because we have been united with Christ in our baptism, we do begin to produce good fruits. We become those who will do the will of our Father in heaven. On our own, all we could produce was rotten fruit. But Christ sent us his Holy Spirit, the Spirit of adoption, who conforms our thoughts and actions to his will. And as we will pray shortly in the collect, that collect says, "Grant to us, Lord, we beseech thee, the Spirit, to think and to do always such things as are right, that we who cannot do anything that is good without thee may by thee be enabled to live according to thy will." You see, it is only by the Holy Spirit that we think and that we do what is right. He is the one who protects us against false prophets so that we do not think or believe anything that is wrong. And He is the one who protects us from sin, so that we do not practice lawlessness. Therefore, we shall enter the kingdom of heaven, not because we do the will of our Heavenly Father, but because of what Christ has done for us. Christ laid down His life for us. Christ forgives all of our sins. Christ washes them away in holy baptism. He grafts us onto Himself. He protects us from false teachers. And He will produce in us all manner of good fruit and cause us to do the will of His Heavenly Father. To God alone be the glory, for He protects us against the dangers of false teaching and sin, and will preserve us by His word and Spirit as heirs of God and joint heirs of Christ. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Please rise. We continue on page 228. Let my prayer rise before you as incense,
and the lift up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For He has regarded the lowliness of His handmaiden. For behold, from this day all generations will call me blessed. For He who is mighty has done great things to me, and holy is His name, and His mercy on those who fear Him throughout all generations. He has shown the strength of His arm, and scattered the proud in their own conceit. Has looked down the mighty on their seas, and exalted the humble and meek. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich He has sent empty away. He has remembered His mercy, and sustain His servant Israel, as He promised to our fathers, to Abraham and his seed forever. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power,
and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Let us pray. Grant to us, Lord, we implore you, the Spirit to think and do always such things as are right, that we who cannot do anything that is good without you, may by you be enabled to live according to your will. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Almighty and everlasting God, whose infinite power alone does great wonders, send down upon your ministers and on the congregations committed to their care the healthful spirit of your grace, and that they may truly please you, pour on them the continual dew of your blessing. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
O God, from whom come all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works, give to us, your servants, that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments, and also that we, being defended by thee from the fear of our enemies, may live in peace and quietness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all.
Amen.
Lord's peace. It's not about the sentimentality, but it's a pretty wonderful feeling being able to preach and do the liturgy here in my home congregation. So, I was talking with Dad because both Jacob and I are keenly aware of how much the congregation has done for us going through seminary. You basically funded us all the way through, and that's absolutely astounding. So just trying to think of something we could do to show our appreciation, and he mentioned, he's like, well, probably what they would like the best is if you came and preached sometime. It's like, yeah, I can do that. Yeah, that's awesome. So that is probably the most valuable thing I can give you. So don't know how to say it any better than that. Thank you for everything you've done for us. And you'll get to hear Jacob preach on Sunday. So.